Okay, yes. On page 1004, we're on Pasik Chaf Hey, in the middle of the page. In the middle of the page, 1004, Perek Yud Beis Pasik Chaf Hey. Okay, the last thing we were learning 2 weeks ago, last week there was no class. 2 weeks ago we learned that in the Midbar, in the desert, the Jews were forbidden to eat meat, only if they brought a carbon. Once the Jews came into Eretz Yisrael, Hashem allowed them to eat meat, but they have to slaughter the meat and shecht it properly. But the Torah says, strengthen yourself not to eat the blood. Okay? And the last thing we learned, what's relevant for today, the Torah says, strengthen yourself not to eat blood. And Rashi brings down two opinions. One opinion said the Jews were overly indulged in drinking blood. And another opinion says the opposite, that they were not at all, it was gross, eating blood. So the Torah says, even those things that you don't enjoy doing, you're going to get rewarded for not doing it. How much more so trade for food and adulterous things that you enjoy doing, for sure, you're going to get rewarded by God. But the question is, and this we didn't discuss last time, why would the people be overly indulged in drinking blood? So it's interesting. The Rambam Memeir Nevuchim, the Ramban brings this down, from the Rambam Memeir Nevuchim in the guide, the Rambam writes, because for whatever reason, when they drank blood, the Shadim, the devils and demons, were found in the blood, and when the people drank the blood, they were able to speak the future. That's what the Rambam writes in the Vuchim, why the people were shtufi b'dam, why they were overly indulged in blood. And therefore, the Torah says, strengthen yourself not to eat the blood in any way whatsoever. Okay, so it says like this. Leitech lanu, middle of the page, you shouldn't eat the blood. L'man yitav l'chol b'necha acharecha, that should be good for you and your children after you. When you will do what's proper in the eyes of Hashem. So the Kleiokis says, why does the Torah say it will be good for you and your children? Why is it the children? So he says like this, you are what you eat. So if a person eats blood, they get into the level of achzarius, of being mean and not being nice. That's what the blood causes the person's attitude to get. So you'll become like an animal. So therefore, if you're going to eat blood, then your children are going to have that nature too. So the Torah says it will be good for you and for your children if you don't eat blood. That you should do good and proper in the eyes of God. And this is another interesting halacha that the Gemara learns from this pasuk, and coming up in pasuk of Ches, the Torah says also, the Gemara learns out from here a lot of interesting halachas in human relationships. From here, the Gemara learns out, you have to go above and beyond the letter of the law. Okay? There's a din. The Gemara says this many times. Kefin Eisi Almida Zdoim. If a person wants to act like the people of Zdom, that means cruelty just for the sake of cruelty. Not because you'll gain by it. You want to be cruel just because the people of Zdom were like that. They were cruel because they were just cruel. Not because I could be cruel in business because I'll gain money from it. But cruelty of Zdom means cruelty just for the sake of being cruel. And the Gemara says, anytime a person acts like that, the courts will force him to act like a decent person. And it says, Kaifin I say, they force him when he acts like the attribute of Zdem. I'll give you a few examples that the Gemara says. And the Gemara says, where do we learn it out from? From this passage that says, you need to do good and righteous in the eyes of God. Which means, not only, you could be legally following all of Torah mitzvahs, but you could be a mamzer. You could be a cruel, terrible person. The Torah says you need to be a good person. Satzah teva yoshod, you need to do what's right in the eyes of God. First, I'll give you a halacha, the exact case that the Gemara says in Baba Basra. If I own a field, okay, I own this field, and I want to sell my field, I have to offer it to my neighbor first. Halachically, I have to offer it to my neighbor first. Why? No, obviously, if he can't say, okay, I'll give you half the price. I mean, I have to say it's $10,000. I have to offer it to him first. Not only that, if I don't, and I sell it to somebody else, the court, and this guy wants to buy it, the courts will go and take it away from the buyer, because they will force me to buy it back from the buyer to resell it to him. Why? Why can't I sell it to whoever I want? Okay? So the din is like this. The concept behind it is very simple. If this guy wants to expand his farm, his field, the best place is the neighboring field. Then he could just make one big field out of it. If he's going to have to buy somewhere else, it's, you know, hard to keep two fields, whatever. Like this, you have one big property for fields and grow. It was much more practical. So therefore, the Torah says like this. You don't lose anything by selling it to him. Obviously, if he's offering you the price, right? If he's offering you the price, then you have to... So not to sell it to him is cruelty. Even though I'm not doing anything wrong, I could sell it to whoever I want. The Torah says, no, from the pasuk, this pasuk, Kisas ha-teva yosha b'ne Hashem, you have to do what's right. And therefore, what's right is sell it to him first. If he refuses, then I can go sell it to somebody else. But the halacha goes so much so that if I don't sell it to him and he wanted it, Beis Din forces me, because they say you're acting like Zdom, cruelty for no reason, Beis Din will force me to buy it back and then sell it to him. There's another case which is also well known in the Gemara. It's called Ani Amahapech Bacharara. If I know you're interested in buying a certain house, yeah, and I come and behind your back, everybody does this tonight. Behind your back, take it away. The Gemara says that's cruelty, and it's against halacha to do that. Even though, look, the guy could sell to whoever he wants. What's the difference? This guy, me or him? Why is he better than me? The fact that he was involved in it first, and you go ahead do it behind your back. The Gemara sometimes has a right. Beis Din has a right to take it away from you and give it to the guy that was involved in it to begin with.
Is that for residential? Somebody wants to live there.
It's a whole discussion. Law. Does it apply to rental? Does it apply to commercial? Does it apply to residential? I'm just saying in Gemara and Kedushin and in Shulchan Aruch Mishpat, there's a lot of discussion about the details. I'm just explaining the concept. The Torah says you have to be a mensch. You have to be right. And this is what the Gemara says, the Mishnah Pirkei Avos says, a person, Misha Rocha Briyas Necha Himenu, Rocha Makim Necha Himenu. If people like you, God likes you. If people don't like you, God doesn't like you. That's what basic the Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos, in a nutshell. Misha Rocha Briyas Necha Himenu, if people like you, that means you're a mensch, you get along with people, you know, you're just nice, so then God likes you. And whoever is not liked by people, then it's not liked by God. Why? Because you're not doing sasa teva yosha. So the Gemara says, from here you learn that a person really has to go what's called lifnim mishur sadin, more than the actual law demands. And even if not, you know, even though halachically you might be able to do it, but as the Gemara says in other places, you could be a menuvel bishur sateira. You could be a despicable person with Torah's permission, so to speak. Over there, the Gemara speaks about also, for instance, I can eat only kosher food, but I can eat like a pig. You know? So I'm not doing anything wrong. It's kosher food. I'm making a bracha. It's kosher food. It's not a problem. But the Torah says, you know what? You're a despicable person. Eat like a mensch. Well, anytime the person doesn't act properly, morally, even though technically they're not doing anything wrong, you're late. Even technically, you're not doing. You're late. You're also late. Technically, you're not doing anything, huh? Yeah, of course. You didn't have to tell me that. As a man, I know.
He just likes to pick on women. He figures it's our fault.
Correct. So, the Torah says you need to be a mensch. You know what I mean? In the eyes of good, of God. What Hashem wants to be good is what you have to be good.
If you vote reverse, if you know this property is worth it for this guy a lot, and they jump the prices, what's the situation? Is the same situation or not?
Again, halachically, the laws are very complicated in this. I'm just mentioning the concept to understand that we should understand what this concept of kasasa teva yosher b'nei Hashem is. People need to be acting properly, even though legally I might be right, you know. But in fact, there's another din. Zenena v'zelo chaser. If you benefit and I don't lose anything by it. You know, something that I don't lose anything by it, and you have all to gain from it. The Gemara says, even if I don't want to do it, Bezdin forces me to do it because they say you're acting like Zdaim. You're acting like a person as Zdaim, and this pasuk Kisasa Teva Yashar says you have to be morally correct. You have to be a mensch, you have to do it correctly. So even Allah, Zanam Zalachasir, Bezdin forces you to do it. If nobody's losing by it, and somebody else has to gain by it, why not? Why shouldn't you be doing it? Another thing the Mefarshim say, by the way, and that's Pasuk Kisasa Yoshev HaTayv, there's a debate in the Gemara. There's a debate in the Gemara. What should a person's attitude be when it comes to Torah mitzvahs? In other words, should a person say, I would love to eat treif, but what can I do? God said no. Or should my attitude be, I don't have anything to do with it. God says no, I don't have anything to do with it. Okay, what should the attitude be? And Rabbi Shmuel, by the way, who is the Kohen Gadol, was of the opinion that a person's attitude should be, I would love to sin, but God says to me no. Okay? Another attitude is, and Rabbi Kiva's attitude is, a person should say,
no,
I don't have anything to do with it. So, Chassidus explains, what's the difference between the two opinions, if I want or don't want, what it is. It's very interesting. The difference is between FFB and a late beginner. Not a Baal Tshuva, a late beginner. In other words, a tzaddik, Rabbi Shmuel, was a Kohen Gadol. See, he was always, you know, Kohen, always holy, tzaddik, everything. He says a person's attitude should be a normal attitude. I would love to eat it. But what should I do? God said no. Or like the blood. Chazak levalti achol adam. Strong not to eat blood. But and then the pasuk says you should do what's right in the eyes of God. So it means a person shouldn't sin because a person shouldn't eat blood because it's gross. Even this they say. A person should not eat blood. I would love to eat it, but God said no. A Baal Tshuva, who went to the other extreme, he needs to be an extremist. Because like we know, if we said this millions of times, if the branch is bent to the left, yeah, and you want to get back to the middle, you can't bend it back to the middle. You have to bend it all the way to the opposite extreme. Right? And then when you bend it back to the opposite extreme, it goes back to the middle. So it's brought down in many Sfarim. Chassidus elaborates on this also. The person's attitude in Yiddishkeit, a person is, as they said before, FFB, from birth. So their attitude really should be, it's, you find this even in the secular world also, I mean in the world. A guy who's addicted to cigarettes and stop smoking, you have to be more fanatic around cigarettes than a guy who just, you know, is a normal, not addicted person. A person who's addicted to alcohol has to keep further away from alcohol than a guy who's not a drunkard and just addicted or whatever and wants to take a drink. So these are the two extremes. So here the commentators explain what the pasuk is also saying, in addition to what we said before about midas daim and not to, you know, to be proper Jews and none of the lechoset. It also means a person's attitude should be, we should do it because we want to do what God wants us to do. Not what I want to do, but what God wants me to do. Kisasa teva yoshod be'enei Hashem, in the eyes of God. Okay? And by the way, this includes man to man and man to God. Because like we learned many, many times, you know, there's 5 of the 10 commandments have been between man and God, 5 are between man to man. The Torah says it's one total picture. You want to be good to God, you have to be good to people. If you want to be good to people, you need to be good to God. So it says you need to be Sata Teva Yosha Bene Hashem. You have to do what's right in the eyes of God, not in your eyes. Sometimes I think, oh, what did I do wrong? So you have to do what's right in God's eyes, not in our eyes. Because our eyes were blinded by self-love and by our temptations and desires. Pasuk says, you have to do what's right in the eyes of God. Okay, further. Pasuk Chavav. So now the Torah says like this. Now that you come into Israel, like we were discussing before, you're allowed to eat meat. Right? If you're allowed to eat meat, so then the Torah says, you don't have to bring it as a korban. In the desert, if they wanted to eat meat, they have to bring a sacrifice. But once you come into Israel, the Torah says you can slaughter anywhere and eat meat. But, the Torah says, but nevertheless, that doesn't give you a permission to slaughter your sacrifices outside the temple. But any of your holy sacrifices, or any of the vows that you made to bring a sacrifice, Tisa uvasi, you have to pick yourself up and go. Elamakam sheyivcha Hashem, to the place God chose. Like we said the last few times we were learning this, that it doesn't say Yerushalayim, it means the place that God chose, which in a spiritual sense, any place that God chooses is really Yerushalayim in a spiritual sense. Okay, then he says like this. In this place that God chooses. Vasisa elasecha, if it's a burnt offering, you do the bas oila. Abasev adam, then you, because it's a burnt offering, so the meat goes on the altar, the blood goes on the altar. Vidams vachecha, and the blood of your other sacrifices, that you are allowed to eat the meat, but you spill the blood on the altar. Yishafecha mizbach Hashem alakecha, you pour it on the altar of Hashem. Vabasev techel, and the meat you can eat. Okay, the Torah just says certain sacrifices were completely burnt on the Mizbeach, like an Ola. The burnt offering was completely burnt on the altar, the meat and the flesh, everything. Not the hide, by the way. The hides of the animal weren't burnt. Those went to the Kohanim. But the actual blood and meat of the animal, the burnt offering, this week's Parsha Vayikra, is completely burnt. The other Shlomim, which is Vachecha, okay, is that you can squirt the blood and the meat you eat. Now the Torah says like this. Shmer v'shamaita. Guard and listen. Okay? It's called advarim o'ela. All these, the Meshach Rabbeinu is telling the Jews. Guard and listen, or simply means keep and listen, to all the mitzvahs asher nechim mitzaveka that I'm commanding you. L'man yitav l'cha u'levanecha acherecha ad olam. That it should be good for you and for your children afterwards forever. Okay? He says, Kisasa teva yosha be'enei Hashem alakech, that you will do good and proper in the eyes of God. Now, okay. So now the question is like this. What's this double expression? Guard and listen. Shemar v'shamayt is a double expression. So Rashi says, Shemar means learning, guard it, and v'shamayt means to listen to the commandments. What's an interesting thing, Shemar according to Rashi here means that you have to safeguard your learning. The Gemara, the Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos, that if somebody forgets their learning, they're obligated death penalty. My love, a cosmic Mishnah picking up and says, kill him is chayiv ben afshin. But the Mishnah says, That's only if you intentionally forget it. What do you mean intentionally forget it? You don't review it. You don't care about it. Shemur means keep it. The way Rashi explained, we'll see another meaning in a second. But Rashi says Shemur means Zumishne Shatzarach Ata L'Shomra Shalitishkach. You should remember it, not to forget it. We find it very interesting in life. Something important you don't forget. Why do spouses get angry when you forget the birthday? Anniversary they don't care so much about because you're also, you forgot about yourself too. But when you forget your spouse's birthday, won't say which side. We'll leave it at that. When you forget your spouse's birthday, they get angry. So the question, what do you mean? You don't forget anything. Right? You don't forget anything. You remember everything? I forgot this. What's the answer to that? Something that's important you're not supposed to forget. Why do you forget it? Because it's not important. If you know, it's in human nature, it's very interesting. When somebody insults you, you remember it for life. You know, it's very interesting. Somebody insults you, you will never forget it. Somebody says something nice, you forget it. Or something says, you know, why? Because something that touches you to the core, you don't forget. Something that you forget is because it's not important. Besides the fact, by the way, that shikha, forgetfulness, comes in the level of evil, and that's what evil causes. That's why it says, we say in the Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur Davening, ki ein shikha, there's no forgetfulness in Kedusha, in holiness, there's no forgetfulness. Forgetfulness comes from the level of evil. But what's the evil? The evil is very simple. If Torah would be important, then you wouldn't forget it. Why do you forget it? Because it's not important. It's not important, you forget it. Therefore, the Gemara says like this, you need to learn it so many times that you'll never forget it. In fact, they say an interesting thing over here with the here. He brings out some interesting things. He says like this. The Gemara says, there's a Gemara in Chagiga that says, what's the difference between one who serves God and one who doesn't? Gemara says, what's the difference? Okay, the pasuk that the Gemara Chagiga brings down. You should look at the difference between one who a tzaddik and a rasha, between one who serves God and one who doesn't. So the Gemara says, who is called not serving God? When you review the Talmud 100 times. You review it 100 times, you're called not serving God. You serve it 101, you learn it 101 times, this is what the Gemara says. Then you call Eved Elikim, then you call serving God. Okay, so the Gemara says basically, you learn the stuff 100 times, you're called not serving God. You learn it 101 times, you're called serving God. Okay, so the Gemara explains, in Tanya, the Alter Rebbe quotes this Gemara practice as well, but in the Gemara explains, because nothing was written, it was all oral. So, in order to remember it, the nature of everybody was to review it 100 times. Then you remembered it. So, when you study something 100 times, it was natural. When you broke your nature and you did it 101 times, that's called serving God. So, he brings down over here, I don't know who he brings it down from, but he says like this. 101 times is the gematria of Michal. Okay? In fact, it says, Davar Tziva Le'elef Der, Hashem commanded for 1,000 generations. Tziva commanded for 1,000 generations. The word Tziva, Tzadik Vavhei, equals 101 times. So if you want to keep it for all generations, you need to learn it 101 times. And then he says like this, Torah Tziva Lanu Meshe. And then he says like this, the angel who's in charge of forgetfulness, you know, good has angels, bad has angels, his name is Puta. And Puta equals, not Putin, puta equals 100. And the malach in charge of remembrance is michol, which is 101. So it says, if you learn it 100 times, then you're not keeping it, you're not going to remember it. So this is what he says. What does it mean, shmar, to remember, to guard? You need to learn the Torah that it becomes one with you. Just like if somebody insults you, you'll never forget it. Torah has to be so important that you should never forget it. I've mentioned in the past that this chassid, the Mendel Futterfass, many of you had occasion to meet. He's a Russian chassid with a lot of Mesidus Nefesh, and he could have gotten out of Russia. He stayed in to help other people. He ended up in Siberia. He once said that, you know, when people went into the Rebbe for private audiences, they would walk out of the Rebbe's room, they'd right away write down what the Rebbe told them, they shouldn't forget it. You shouldn't forget it, right? The Rebbe wrote it down right away. And the Mendel said, "Metarnish v'shrayv ma yechidus." He said, you're not allowed to write it. Why? He said, it has to be so engraved in your head, you'll never forget it. What are you writing it down? It means it's not important, you're afraid you're going to forget it, and therefore you need to write it down. He says, when you're given a name, you don't have to write it down. You know, your name, you're going to remember, because you're never going to forget. You don't have to write down, what's my name? 1 minute, let me check. You know, today when they ask you what your number is, you don't know, because everything is just recorded. Yeah. But he said, you're not allowed to write down the Yechidus of the Rebbe, because if the Rebbe told it to you, it should be so ingrained in you, there's no need to write it down. This is what the Pasuk is saying over here, according to Rashi. Shmer v'shamata, it says, guard it and listen to the things that Hashem gives you. The Ohr HaChaim HaKadosh over here explains it differently, but he asks a question. If somebody says, keep it and listen to it, what comes first? First you listen to it, and then you keep it. You can't keep it before you listen. So why is the Torah, the Ohr HaChaim HaKadosh, why is the Torah saying, Shmer v'shamaita, first guard and then listen? Because listening comes before God, you have to first know what it is. He says an interesting answer. He says, Shmer refers to biblical law, and shamaita means to listen to the rabbinic laws. So the Torah first says, Shmer, you have to keep the biblical laws, obviously. And then the Torah adds, not only, because Shemaita is the oral, what you hear. The written Torah, you don't hear, you see it, you read it. The oral Torah, because it's Baal Peh, so that's what you hear. So he says, what the Torah is saying is, Shmer v'shamaita, you need to keep the biblical laws, but at the same time you need to hear all the rabbinic laws, that the decrees and the various things that the rabbis instituted, you know, all these things, you need to listen to. And therefore the Torah says, explains to, according to him, first the Torah says Shmer, and then Shemaita. Okay, and then he says, you have to keep Ateva Yoshar. In the bottom, he brings down that earlier on, he said, Vasisa Yoshar Atev, earlier in the Pasuk, he also says, about doing what's right and what's good. Okay? And one of the reasons he says is like this. What you're meant to get, you're going to get anyway. And what you're not meant to get, you're not getting. So all these things that you think you're going to get, you know, what you're meant to get, you're going to get. There was a Russian chassid, lived over 100. Blazer Nanis, his name was. He's also Monsieur Snafish in Russia. He came out. He was here in America many times. He lived in Israel. When he came out of Russia, he had a lot of problems with his foot. So he came to America. Huh? His foot. So he ended up going to a specialist in Manhattan. And he was a Jew from Russia, had no money, no nothing. And the specialist, you know, with the bargains, it was a lot of money. So he was thinking to himself like this. This is the way a chassid thinks. He was thinking to himself, should I bargain with the doctor? Should I bargain with him? Tell him, I'm a Russian Jew, I have no money, you know, give me a bigger break. And he said, no. he's not going to bargain with the doctor. He said, why? Listen to this logic. He says, it's destined in heaven how much money I'm going to spend on medical bills for the year. Let's say you charge him $600, yeah? So he says, if I bargain with the guy to make it $300, and it's already destined in heaven that I should spend $6, all it's going to mean is I'm going to have to come again to the doctor. Because I'm going to have to spend that money anyway. He said, you know what? This is his price. Let me give it to him, and God will help. I won't have to come back to the doctor. I won't have any more problems. No, it's an interesting perspective. It's an interesting perspective of life. You know, you're not going to get more than what you're going to get, what you're meant to get, and you're not going to get less what you're meant to get. So all this shtick, you know, stealing and this and that. So you know what? Maybe you'll make more money, then you'll have a leaky roof and have to spend the money on fixing the roof. You know what I mean? There's a lot, God has the different ways of doing things. You might think you're getting more money, so you're underspending it a different way. And you get less money because that's what you're supposed to get, so you won't have a leaky roof. You know what I mean? You won't have all your appliances break at the same time. That usually happens. So right before Pesach. Anyway. So this is what the Pasuk says. Do it. Do what's right. And eyes of God you got. Okay. Further. Baiter. When Hashem will cut down the nation, meaning destroy the nations, that you're coming into the land of Israel to inherit, you will inherit them, and you will take possession, you'll settle in the land. Okay? Now he says like this. So, okay, the God's going to get rid of the enemies and you're going to settle the land. So he says like this. Be very careful, lest you'll be attracted after them. What's God worried about? You're going to come into the land of Canaan, which is an extremely corrupt country, and you'll get enticed by them, or you'll enjoy their lifestyle. After God destroys them, lest you will also seek out their gods and say, how did these nations worship their gods? You know what? There's a king of money. I'll also do it. Okay? By the way, I'm going to explain this pasuk right now. In 3,500 years ago. I'm going to explain it now. The Torah says you come into a land, you'll inherit it, conquer it, and then you say, hey, let's go. What?
I can already see where you're going.
You see where I'm going. It's pretty clear where I'm going. But let's just see the next pasuk before we explain it. Don't do that to God. Because all the abomination of Hashem that Hashem hates, also they did to their gods. Like you said, they used to kill their kids, sacrifice their kids. Kigamas benemes, says benisem, their sons and daughters, Yisrafu Beishla came, they would burn, Rashi quotes Rabbi Kiva said, I once saw a guy take his father and give him to a dog to eat. And that's what Rashi said, Amar Rabbi Kiva, Anira Isi goy echad, Shekovsi Laviv, he tied up his father, Lefnei Kalbay, in front of his dog. It wasn't a little puppy, it was probably a pit bull. Ba'achla, and he ate it. Okay, this is the Rashi quotes from the Sifri from the Medrash. So, Hashem says, listen, don't do what they did because I hate it, and therefore you're not supposed to be doing this. This pasuk obviously is obvious where I'm going with it, but that's what the pasuk says. I didn't make it up. You live in a city today, no matter where the city is. You live in the country today, no matter what the country is. The Torah says, don't follow the goyish idol worshippings. Okay? He's talking about worshipping idols. He said, lest you will seek out their gods. We learned many, many times. Idol worshipping doesn't mean bowing down to an idol or a stone or image or whatever it is. Anything that you worship is idol worshipping. Like they say, the golden calf. When a person worships money, than worshiping the golden calf. You worship sports, you worship movies, you worship style, you worship
stock.
Huh?
Stocks?
Only if they make money.
Not worshiping?
You know what? People worship food. Mm. Worshipping means, what am I living for? I've said many times, you can live to eat, and you can eat to live. Mm. Okay? There are people that live to eat. Because that's all they're talking about. You walk in the street, what did you eat? Where are you going? What are you doing? That's all they're talking about. How good the food was, or how lousy the food was. But they're all talking about food. Things... fads that come out. You know, all of a sudden, everybody needs... I'll give you an example. The new phone comes out. They're waiting in line already at midnight. Around the corner, they're being now to midnight. They're camping there already 3 weeks. They're sleeping in the street already. That to be able to be the first one to get the new phone. You know what? It's not so funny. People do it. But that's exactly what the Pasuk is talking about. Worshipping the cultures of the places you're going to. That is the gods. Okay? Anything. I'll give you another example. I spoke about this publicly in Shul already. You know, when a new Harry Potter book comes out, they're mamish in the books, they're mamish waiting around the corner, lines, to get Harry Potter. So he said, beside the fact that Harry Potter is forbidden to read, it's witchcraft, which is forbidden according to Torah. I don't know any basis in Halacha why you would be allowed to read Harry Potter. It's mamish witchcraft. Aye, it's fake witchcraft, but it's still witchcraft. It doesn't matter. But it's not only that. To wait in line, that's called worshipping it. That's mamish, the concept of worshipping it. It doesn't have to mean worshipping an idol of Getchkis like they had, you know, in the years ago with the idol worshipping. Anything a person worships as that, I mean, this is what their whole goal, and this is what they're working for, and this is what they're anxious for, and this is what they're looking for. That's what the Torah says. You should be careful lest you follow in their ways. And that's but why do people do it? Because it's the in thing to do. You lived for 40 years without it, and all of a sudden it becomes a fad, you can't live another day without it. What happened to the 40 years, 50, 60, 70 years you lived without it? You lived, you survived very well. No, this is, huh? Whatever it is, it doesn't matter. It doesn't have to be phones. It could be anything that the Torah says, you're coming to the land, don't follow their gods. Don't do the things they worship. People worship sports. People worship movies. People worship food. People worship tzatzkes, no, whatever you call it. Gadgets. So these are the things that the Torah says, don't do it because God doesn't like it. If you put those things, you never find, I don't want to speak bad about Jews, but you never find, if a shul opens at 7 o'clock in the morning, you never find people waiting at midnight around the corner. You know, a line to be able to go daven. You don't find that. Even, okay, maybe every day. Shofar, they're going to blow shofar. You don't find people waiting for midnight outside the shul in the lines ready to hear shofar blowing. But for a stupid phone or a book, they'll wait around. So just think about it. That means that that book or that gadget or that thing is more important than you, than God. So in simple English, you're worshipping that over God. So the Torah says over here, just be very careful, don't do it. That's what the Torah is saying. I mean, everything in Torah applies today. We're not conquering the land, or we're not, you know. But the Torah says, you're in the land, you have to keep in mind that all these things are mamish worshipping idols. What?
But sometimes you find that these things that look ridiculous, so to speak, become the norm. And if you're not into it, I'm talking about myself, then you aren't out of the norms, quote unquote, because you're not into all this high technology and stuff like that.
Then you're called a nerd.
A nerd, or if you're a smart one, a geek.
Geek. But I'm saying, because it becomes like, it becomes the norm, and then you're not part of the norm then, if you're not like always having the, you know, the latest stuff with that stuff.
There's a difference between having it or worshipping it. Okay? If, let's say, the new gadgets, right? There's a lot of good that can come from it. Okay? Now on your phone, you can have class, you can learn, you can do all that thing, right? That's the good part of it. But are the people doing it because this is the fad, and if everybody else, I have to be the first one? Or, again, it's not having it. It's a question of worshipping it. You understand the difference? You can want it to have it because, yes, I need to be involved in society. But I don't have to worship it. I don't have to stand in line for 3 days to get it, and it doesn't have to take over my life. When something takes over the life of a person, that is called worshipping. When it takes over your life. Okay? I mean, I'm known to knock all these things. But people, instead of talking to their kids, are playing with their phones. Whether they're getting emails, whether they're getting this, and I don't care what it is, it doesn't matter. Okay? They take over your life. That if you lose your phone for a day,
it's the end of the world.
The world ends. Your life is over. You might as well die. No, I mean, this is in people's minds. I may be acting it out more, but the reality is, the life is over. I can't survive a day without my phone. Ask a person, can you survive a day without your phone? Most people tell you I can't. It's impossible. How can I survive? Okay? That's called that phone is taking over your business, your life. Anything that takes over your life outside of godliness, and by the way, that doesn't mean you can't eat, that doesn't mean you can't sleep, that doesn't mean you can't do things, but you're doing it in order to serve God. You're living, you're eating to live versus living to eat. Okay? There's nothing wrong having these phones and these gadgets, providing they don't take over your life. Once they take over your life, then you're worshipping it. If a guy in the middle of davening is completely on the phone, look, in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei, repetition, everybody's on the phone. You know, that is called worshipping the phone when you're supposed to be praying to God. The funniest thing, when they had that big internet hasif in New York, in Madison, in Shea Stadium, where they came out against everybody using the internet, remember that? And then from they daven Ma'ariv, everybody took out their phones to daven Ma'ariv. Everybody in the crowd, you see pictures, and guys were commenting, look at this stupidity. I mean, here you're coming out against iPhones and internet and everything, and everybody's daven Ma'ariv at that hasifa. With the phone. Like, duh. Do you understand? There's a difference between allowing it to take over your life is worshipping it. Eating, there's nothing wrong eating as long as you don't allow food to take over your life. Gadgets also. If the gadgets can be used, listen, according to Torah, especially as we get closer to Mashiach, the knowledge and technology and medical technology, scientific technology.
That's me.
That's yours.
Are you into it?
I'm not going to get it.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I'm not even going to look and see who called.
Things are progressing, but that's all to prepare the world for Mashiach. Because now, as we get ready for Mashiach, years ago, people said, I have an excuse, I can't learn. I don't speak Hebrew, I don't understand Hebrew, I can't get to a class, I can't get there. Right? Now, you have any language, you have on your phone, you can have any class of Torah that you want. You can connect yourself to any class of Torah you want. Today, news used to take time to travel. today, something that happens in 1 second is all over the world. Okay? That's Mashiach's times. Yeah? That's Mashiach's times. But the question is it being used for the right purposes? Hashem, and the Rebbe's opinion was, you should know, that if there's technology in the world, yeah, it has to be used because Hashem made it. Hashem gave the wisdom for people to make it, and Hashem allowed it to be created. But you need to be able to control yourself to use it for the right purposes. You know, a knife is good, but it could be bad. So you have to control, obviously, it's easier to control a knife than the internet. But you have to, okay. But that means, though, but Taylor says, by the way, that if there are these distractions, okay, a person has the ability, God simultaneously gives the ability to overcome those distractions. Maybe it takes more power. But God, if He makes these distractions, and He commands us to keep mitzvahs, mean God gives us the ability to overcome the distractions. And that's what it has to be. But if things are good, we have to use it. But the difference is whether we're worshipping it or not, whether it's taking over our life, that's what the Torah says you can't do. Okay, and then we'll come to... Oh, God, it's late. Okay, Pasuk Aleph. Because, no, there's a lot to talk in this Pasuk. Eish kol adav ashanechi mitzav eschem. All the things I'm commanding you. Rashi says whether it's easy or hard. Eishei sishmu lasis, you have to keep it to do. Leiseisif olav, you shouldn't add to mitzvahs. V'leisigra mimenu, and you shouldn't take off mitzvahs. So Rashi says, what does it mean adding on to mitzvahs? Like you make 5 tzitzis instead of 4, instead of the lulav esri, 4 meaning you make 5. Instead of 4 boxes of tefillin, you make 5. Okay? Or taking off would be making 3 tzitzis instead of 4 tzitzis. So the Torah said, by the way, this is the source in the Torah of leiseisif olav, v'leisigra mimenu. You're not to add to mitzvahs and not to take off mitzvahs. So there's a few issues over here. Seemingly, what's worse? Adding or taking off?
Seemingly taking off.
So what should have the Torah said first? The Torah should have said, don't take off and don't add. If that's seemingly worse to take off mitzvahs than to put on mitzvahs, so the Torah should have said first, don't take off and then don't add. Why did the Torah say don't add and don't take off? But there's another issue over here. We need to understand, okay, not to take off mitzvah, say understand. Torah says, 4 tzitzis, you can make it 3. But if 4 tzitzis are good, 5 is even better. So why can't they add on to mitzvahs? And also the question is, which the Rambam alludes to, by the way, in his introduction to the Sefer, if God gave us 613 mitzvahs, and the rabbis gave us 7 mitzvahs, the Rambam asks, why isn't that adding on to the Torah? The Torah says there's 613 mitzvahs, and the rabbis come along and say there's Chanukah and Purim and Hallel and Ner Shabbos and Netilas Yadayim and Nedav and all the 7 rabbinic mitzvahs. Why isn't that adding on to the mitzvahs? Or for that matter, all the rabbinic decrees that the Torah says that the rabbis make, why isn't that adding on to the Torah? In fact, there's an interesting Gemara. The Gemara says, we just learned that in Gemara Shir Sunday morning. It says, Kol ha-meisiv gareya. Gemara says in Sanhedrin like this, whoever adds makes it worse. Why? The Gemara says, two in the Chumash, but one in the story. When Adam and Chava sinned, okay, How did she sin? How did Chava sin?
She added.
Because she added to the snake. Hashem said to them, don't eat from the tree. Hashem never said, don't touch the tree. Okay? Chava told the Nachash, Chava told the snake, God told us, don't eat and don't touch. which God never said that. So what did the snake do? Snake was smart. He pushed Chava against the tree. So she touched the tree. And nothing happened to her. So he said to her, you see, God told you, what she said, don't touch it, and you touched it, nothing happened. So if you eat it, nothing's going to happen. And she said, you're right. And she ate from the tree. Okay? So the question is, so all the rabbis added to mitzvahs. You know, chametz you can eat at a certain time. The rabbi said, no, an hour earlier. You know, 2 hours earlier. The rabbi said, you could do this, you have to stop earlier. Why isn't that also adding on to mitzvahs? But the fundamental difference is like this. Chava's problem was, she said, that's what God said. God said, don't eat and don't touch. The correct thing would have been, God said, don't eat, so I want to make a fence around it, so I'm going to say, don't even touch it, because then you'll come to eat it. Chava's problem was, she said, that's what God said. When the rabbis instituted the seven rabbinic mitzvahs, they didn't say, these are part of the 613. They said, these are rabbinic mitzvahs that we're instituting. They're not adding on. Adding on when you say, this is what God said to do, like Chava did. Don't eat and don't touch. That was her downfall, because she added to the Torah. But if the rabbis say, listen, there's a hole in the ground, and the Torah says, don't fall in the hole. Okay? That's what the Torah says. But what am I going to do? I'm going to make a fence a few feet away that nobody should come close and not fall. That's not adding to the mitzvah. The mitzvahs don't fall into the hole. I'm doing a precaution that I shouldn't come to fall into the hole. That the Torah says you have to make. That the Torah gives the rabbi's authority. You have to make a fence around the Torah. But there's two aspects over here. Taking off mitzvahs are no good, and adding on to mitzvahs are no good. Very cell phone night. Don't add mitzvahs. So we said, l'cheira, taking off is worse than adding, right? But the truth is, it's not. And I'll give you a medical example where you see clearly adding is worse than not taking. If somebody is given medicine 3 times a day, yeah, 3 times a day to take a pill. So a guy's going to think to himself, okay, if the medicine works 3 times a day, if I take 10 pills 10 times a day, for sure it's going to work. But think about it. If 3 pills, 3 times a day, 1 pill each is going to cure me, 10 pills 10 times a day for sure is going to cure me. Or 5 pills 5 times a day for sure is going to cure me. Now what's worse? Overdosing or not taking any medication?
Overdosing
is worse. So the Torah says sometimes adding on to the mitzvah is worse than taking off from the mitzvah. But the Torah says, and this is what mitzvahs are all about. God says, when I give you a mitzvah, 4 tzitzis, 4 tefillin, whatever it may be, the mitzvah is exact. It's like medication. For medication to work, it has to be exact. Too little medication doesn't work, and too much medication doesn't work. In fact, sometimes too much medication can even be worse than too little medication. But something you need exact dosage. And many times people say, when it comes to Yiddishkeit, they say, okay, why do I have to observe the mitzvah 100%? Why can't they observe the mitzvah 98%? Why do I have to do the mitzvah 100%? And the answer to that is very simple. If a guy builds a bridge, yeah, Brooklyn Bridge, Williamsburg Bridge, Manhattan Bridge, or any of these bridges, whatever, in California, whatever, Golden Gate Bridge, yeah? Do you know that if they're a half an inch off in the construction of the bridge, okay, you know what can happen? As we know, God forbid, yeah? So the question is like this. The bridge is 1 mile long and 50 feet wide. I don't know, whatever. Yeah? 50 feet wide, 1 mile long. a half an inch is really going to matter? Come on. Why should it matter? I'll build it a half an inch off. Why is that a ridiculous statement? Because in certain things, even if you're going to be a little bit off, not only are you not building a bridge, not only are you not creating something positive, you're creating something extremely dangerous that people are going to die from it. And that's what Yiddishkeit is all about. God says, listen, I'm giving you mitzvahs. I'm giving you 613 biblical mitzvahs. I want fences around the Torah. But you need to understand, they have to be kept right. Because if you're not going to keep the mitzvah, it's like medicine. You don't take the right dosage, you're not going to get better. You can't, if the doctor tells you, take it three times a day, and you're going to take one pill every 5 days, and then you come back to the doctor and say, you know, doctor, I'm not getting better. The doctor says, are you taking the medication the right dosage? No. So he says, so what do you want? So the Torah says, these mitzvahs that I'm giving you, okay, don't add, don't deduct. What I'm giving you is the exact measurements, and this is what Torah's life is all about. You can't add. Yes, you can make a fence to as a protection around the mitzvah, whether it's positive or negative mitzvah. But you can't say that is what the mitzvah is, because then you're doing what Chava did, and she added, and because of that we have those. All the problems of the world because of the Eitz Hadas, original sin, that becomes Chava added to what Hashem told. Look what happened from it. She was very frum. God said, don't eat. She said, no, I'm going to be frum. I'm not going to even touch it. Her problem was, she said, Amar Elokim, she said, God said. And that God never said. That was her problem. And that's what happens when a person adds to mitzvahs or deducts mitzvahs. And sometimes, as the Mefarshim say, sometimes adding to the mitzvah is worse than taking it off. Okay. That's it. Mitzvah.